أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. صدق الله العظيم. For this morning's brief tafsir, I've chosen this verse from Surah Ar-Rum in the 21st juz of the Quran. In this verse, Allah Ta'ala says that corruption has made itself manifest on the land and on the sea because of what man has earned, because of his rotten actions. Allah Ta'ala sends calamities sometimes on the land in the form of drought, in the form of famine, in the form of floods, earthquakes, and on the sea as well, in the form of tsunamis, sometimes stormy waters where ships begin to sink. All these calamities take place because of the doing of man's own hands, because of his rotten amal, rotten actions. So Allah Ta'ala says, لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا. The reason why Allah Ta'ala sends these calamities is to give a wake-up call, an eye-opener, that we are inviting these calamities. We need to turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to make istighfar, seek forgiveness of our sins. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So Allah Ta'ala sends these calamities so that people can open their eyes and turn once again to the beautiful deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last night too, we heard the hadith in which Nabi Karim Sa'asim has mentioned that when 15 types of evils will take place in this ummah, then Allah Ta'ala will send down frightening calamities, tremendous difficulties. On one occasion, someone asked Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha that why do earthquakes take place? She replied, when people begin to consume alcohol, wine, and when zina becomes rife amongst the people, then Allah Ta'ala commands the earth to shake. An earthquake takes place, and in a few seconds, thousands of lives are wiped out. So because of the evil that man perpetrates, man himself is inviting the anger of Allah, as a result of which Allah Ta'ala sends these calamities on the earth. It comes in the hadith of Bukhari Sharif that once Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha noticed that when dark clouds gathered over the horizon, overhead, then Nabi Sallam became very uneasy. He began to pace up and down. So she asked Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when people see these clouds, they become happy that perhaps rain will come down. Yet you become uneasy, you pace up and down. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, what guarantee do we have that there is rain in these clouds? These clouds could be bringing punishment, adab upon the people. And then Nabi Sallam indicated towards the incident of the people of Hazrat Hud alayhi salam, the nation of Aad, that they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala sent a punishment upon them. For 8 days, there was terrible scorching heat, such heat that the rivers dried up, the wells dried up. There was no water to be found. And people were totally devastated. Then eventually, they saw a cloud appearing overhead, and they became happy. They began to say, هَذَا عَارِضٌ مُمْطِرُنَا, that this is a cloud that will bring refreshing rain upon us. Allah Ta'ala says, what rain are you talking about? بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ, this is the same adab that you are clamoring for. You are mocking at the Nabi, at Hud alayhi salatu salam, that where is the adab that you promised, that if you do not bring iman upon Allah, so show us that adab. So after 8 days, when this cloud appeared, the people happily gathered underneath that cloud to await the rain. But instead of rain, and Allah Ta'ala sent down azab upon them. They were totally wiped out, totally destroyed. So this was what Nabi Karim Sallallahu was referring to, that when dark clouds appear, then one should become anxious, one should become worried, that perhaps there is punishment in this. Yes, when rain would come down, then Nabi Sallallahu would be relieved that adab has not come. Allah has sent welcome rain to us. He has sent His rahmat. So the sin that we commit, this results in even our hearts becoming rusted. It comes in hadith to the effect, إِذَا أَذْنَبَ الْعَبْدُ نُكِتَتْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَىٰ. When a person commits a sin, then a black spot appears on the heart. We may not be able to perceive this spot. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said this, it is definitely true. If a person makes tawbah, then that black spot disappears. If he does not make tawbah, commits another sin, another black spot appears on the heart. Further sinning causes more spots, more spots, more spots to appear, until the entire heart becomes blackened. It becomes rusty. كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala says, eventually, we make the hearts rusted. When the heart becomes rusted, it cannot absorb the truth. When this happens, the result of this is, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ أَكِنَّةً أَن يَفْقَهُوا وَفِي آذَانِهِمْ وَقَرًا. Then eventually, Allah Ta'ala puts a curtain of darkness over that person's heart. Truth cannot enter the heart. Allah Ta'ala puts deafness into the ears. The person cannot listen to the truth, not prepared to listen to the truth. Eventually, Allah forbid, the person loses his iman. Which is why Nabi Karim Sam is warned that Badiru bil Amali fitanan ka qita'in layl al muslim yusbihu al rajul mu'mina wa yumsi kafira wa yumsi mu'mina wa yusbihu kafira. Or kama qala li sallam, that hasten with doing good deeds. Among the foremost good deeds is making istighfar, repenting for our sins. So hasten with good deeds before such fitnas appear that descend upon you like the segments of the dark night. And when these fitnas come, it will result in a person waking up in the morning as a Muslim, as a mu'min. He will go to bed as a kafir. He will go to sleep as a mu'min, wake up as a kafir. Iman will be taken out of his heart. And that is happening today. We need to be concerned about this. We need to be worried about our children, grandchildren, our future progeny. There is a move today throughout the entire world. In many countries, where Muslims, na'uzu billah, Allah forbid, have left the fold of Islam. They have become apostate. And they do not feel shy to advertise this. They are proud to proclaim this. Even in South Africa, there are such people that have begun to call themselves ex-Muslims of South Africa. There are no less than 30 organizations throughout the entire world. Ex-Muslims of Canada, ex-Muslims of America, ex-Muslims of Britain, even ex-Muslims of Pakistan. So similarly, ex-Muslims of South Africa. And now they've changed their names. They call themselves atheist Muslims. How can you ever reconcile the two? You can't be an atheist and be a Muslim at the same time. A Muslim means a person who submits to the deen of Allah Ta'ala. If you're an atheist, you are actually saying that I do not believe in Allah, I do not believe in the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'uzu billah. I do not believe in the Quran, I do not follow the Quran. So how can you call yourself Muslims? This movement commenced in Germany, and now in no less than 30 countries, there are these organizations that call themselves atheist Muslims. So something for us to worry about. Our progeny, our children, our grandchildren. Allah Ta'ala safeguard the iman, safeguard our iman, protect the iman of all Muslims. Because there is this wave of apostasy going throughout the entire world. People going out to the fold of Islam, unfortunately. So before that happens, that our hearts also become blackened with committing sins, we need to make sincere istighfar. And istighfar is not merely lip service. One has to make istighfar sincerely, thinking about one's sins. Apart from general istighfar, one should also make specific istighfar. Recall the sins that we have committed and seek forgiveness for every single sin. Like when a person, if he has black spots upon his body, a mechanic works under the car, grease gets onto his body, when he goes under the tap, under the shower, he looks for the specific spots where the grease is and he scrubs it off. If clothing becomes soiled, becomes stained, a person washes the clothing, he looks for the stains, remove those stains. So similarly, the black spots that have come into our hearts as a result of committing sin, we should recall every single sin and then visualize that I'm sitting under a spiritual shower of forgiveness. I'm having a certain sin forgiven, another sin forgiven, another sin forgiven. In others, recall those sins and express remorse on committing those sins. Make a pledge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to commit those sins again before our hearts become rusted, blackened, and shaitan gets the opportunity of snatching iman out of our hearts. Allah protect us from that. So istighfar is very, very effective in bringing us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make peace with our Creator. Black spots are removed from our hearts. Our hearts become illuminated. They become full of nur. We are able to absorb the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, able to absorb the sunnah lifestyle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and putting that into practice. Hadha sirra sirra sirti rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam. That istighfaruna yahtaju ila istighfarin kathirin. Even our istighfar needs istighfar. And sometimes istighfar is merely lip service. When we make istighfar, our hearts ought to be attentive with sincerity, show remorse, and ask Allah Ta'ala to pardon our sins. Istighfar is so beneficial. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to this effect, that man lazim al-istighfar, ja'alallahu lahu ta'ala, min kulli hammin farja, wa min kulli dhiqin makhraja, wa yarzuqhu min haythu la yahtasib. Aw kama qala li sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When a person makes a habit, regular practice of making istighfar, then Allah Ta'ala, from every distress, from every worry, from every depression, Allah will find a way out for him. Allah will give him relief from every anxiety. Allah will provide rosy for him from sources that he cannot even imagine. So istighfar is a solution for us coming closer to Allah Ta'ala, seeking pardon for our sins. It comes about Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى الْحَسَنِ الْبَصْرِي رَحِمَ اللَّهِ يَشْكُ الْفَقْرَ فَقَالَ اسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ ثَانٍ يَشْكُ الْجَدْبَ فَقَالَ اسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ ثَالِثٌ يَشْكُ الْعَقْمَ فَقَالَ اسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ A person came to Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh. He complained about poverty. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah said to him that seek forgiveness for your sins. Another man came and he complained about famine, drought in his region. Hasan al-Basri said to him, Istaghfirullah. Seek Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. A third person came. He complained that his wife was barren. She could not conceive. So he said, Istaghfirullah. Seek Allah's pardon. People that were seated there, later they said to us in Abbasi Rahmatullah Ali, that people came with different complaints, different ailments, spiritual ailments, yet you prescribe the same medication, istighfar. You go to a doctor for a different ailment, you will get a different type of medication. Here you are suggesting istighfar for all these different problems. So he replied that yes, Allah has kept the solution to all problems in istighfar. And to prove this, he recited from Surah Nuh the verse where the Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam said to his people, وَاسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَارًا. Seek forgiveness from your sustainer. He is oft forgiven. He is oft forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send rain down upon you in abundance. So that person complained about drought, no rain. So he had a solution for istighfar, for not having rain, for drought and famine, is istighfar. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ. The other person complained about poverty. So Allah Ta'ala says, via Nuh alayhi salatu salam, make istighfar. Allah will provide you with wealth, with provision, with sustenance. Wabaneen. The other person complained that his wife was barren, not conceiving. So the verse of the Quran says, Allah will provide children for you. وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Allah will provide lush and green gardens for you. He will provide flowing rivers for you. All sorts of barakat you will see in istighfar. So that istighfar needs to be sincere. And sincere istighfar means to repent in such a way that we show remorse for the wrong that we have done. Sincere remorse. Together with that, ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive us for the sins that you have committed. And thirdly, make a pledge to Allah never to commit the sin again, with the intention that if due to our weakness, if we happen to commit the sin again, immediately to resort to tawbah, istighfar. Allah give us a tawfiq of making regular istighfar, sincere tawbah for our sins, so that Allah Ta'ala can shower us with His mercy, with His blessings. Allah Ta'ala can keep our iman intact. That Allah Ta'ala keeps us with iman, takes us from the world with iman, raises us with iman. Otherwise, as I mentioned, there is this wave of apostasy going throughout the entire world where people say we are atheist Muslims. They claim that being a Muslim is not to do with a religious ideology. They say it is to do with a community. So we can be called Muslims, yet we can be, na'uzu billah, atheists. And there is such an organization in South Africa too. They called themselves previously ex-Muslims of South Africa. Now they claim that you are known as atheist Muslims of South Africa. And there are no less than 30 organizations throughout the entire world. Allah Ta'ala protect us, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.